This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tuck comes out of the box. He picks off the puck. Net is empty. Tuck turns. Just lifts it out to center. Sabres with an empty net chance. McLeod! Yes, sir! With 47.9 seconds to go, the empty netter for Buffalo pushes it to 5-3 Sabres.
That empty net goal for Brian McLeod was important because Philadelphia scored with 19 seconds left to cut it to a 5-4 game. McLeod's empty netter, his 20th of the year, is the game winner, and it's the goal of the game tonight. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Fan appreciation night. The fans just exiting the ice as they... Now, lucky ones have received their jersey off the back from the players and autographs and pictures, and the Sabres have now head off into their dressing room area, and we'll get interviews coming up here in just a few moments with Paul Hamilton. But the Sabres at least finished the season, a disappointing one again, with a victory, a 5-4 over Philadelphia, and the Sabres will miss the playoffs, as you know, for the 14th consecutive season, which is an NHL record. Tonight, though, Lindy Ruff, he gets his 900th career win behind the bench of an NHL team. Combined wins, of course, with his other franchises, Dallas, New Jersey, Buffalo, but 900 wins, a very, very good accomplishment for him. And the Sabres pick up their 36th win of the season. 36-39-7 is their final record. 79 points, which we know is not going to be good enough to make the postseason. The point total, 91. That's what it would have took this year for the Sabres had they won what they needed here. They were 12 points back. They needed 6 more wins. That would have been, a task during that streak there where they went winless in 13. Had they even maybe just won 4 of them, well, we might have had a much more interesting end to the season there. But, that we know the 13-game winless streak, and probably there's 2 nights of that 13-game winless streak to me that stand out. It's the 4-0 lead here at home against Colorado that they blow and fall in regulation, don't even get a point. And then later on in the win streak, it's Terry Pegula showing up in Montreal, telling the team essentially that the solution is in the room. They're not going to make any moves. Kevin Adams decides to let it go that whole time. Adams on WGR flagship the other day said maybe that was not the right thing to do. And then they go out and get blown out by the Canadiens. and that 13-game winless streak continued there. Those are the two biggest ones that I'll remember from that 13-game winless streak. That, again, is kind of going to be the label for me for this season. The GM did nothing. They didn't really change the lineup. There was no even guy getting waived or a call-up from Rochester or even a symbolic trade. Nothing happened. And, well, that's why the Sabres are sitting here in third last at the end of the season. Better than the Bruins, better than the Flyers, but the rest of the East all better. And now, you know, Ottawa and Montreal, they haven't been in the playoffs in a while, especially the Senators. They're the two wild cards, and it really wouldn't have taken that much. The Sabres needed 12 more points to get it done, and they'll have to wait for another season. While we wait for Paul down in the locker room here, just a reminder, if you're driving home with us here tonight from the arena, we appreciate you listening. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of being your hometown dealership. All right, our final stats tonight brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Final shots in this one, 32 for the Sabres, 25 for the Flyers. In net, it is James Reimer picking up the win. He made 21 saves. And Alexei Kolosov for the Flyers takes the loss. He let in 4 goals on 30 shots. He made 26 saves. Your 3 stars, Quinn for Buffalo, star 3. McLeod for Buffalo, star 2. Tuck for Buffalo, star number 1. Power plays in this one, not much of a factor. Philadelphia 1 of 2, although Buffalo did score while Philly was on that power play. And the Sabres 0 of 1. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools. Proudly made here in Buffalo. So Fan Appreciation Night comes to an end, and the Sabres again fall in terms of short of making the postseason for the 14th consecutive season, but they do end on a winning note with a 5-4 victory over Philadelphia. And what's next? Well, it's the offseason. Tomorrow and Saturday, the Sabres will have meetings. The players will locker clean out, and then they'll meet with head coach Lindy Ruff and with Sabres GM Kevin Adams. And then after those meetings, they'll be made available to the media. So Paul Hamilton and the rest of the media will have some interviews. So we'll be having those to play over the course of the next 2 days if you're listening on our flagship on WGR. And then on Saturday, we expect maybe mid to late afternoon, probably maybe somewhere in the 4 o'clock hour, GM Kevin Adams, head coach Lindy Ruff, after they're done with their meetings on Saturday, they'll have their season-ending press conference. We are planning on carrying those live on our flagship station on WGR here in Buffalo. Of course, you can listen on the Odyssey app for that as well, or at WGR550.com if you're listening anywhere else outside of the Buffalo area. We are planning on an extended special Sports Talk Saturday in order to bring you kind of a season wrap show for the Sabres. And it'll be off to the off season, and, you know, what comes next? Well, we know at least for 16 teams, the playoffs is next. And Saturday, the games will start. In fact, 2 series in the West start on Saturday. Winnipeg, who's won the President's Trophy with 116 points, the top seed overall in the playoffs, they'll face St. Louis on Saturday. And then the 2-3 matchup in the Central in the West, Dallas and Colorado, they will play as well on Saturday. Here is Alex Tuck, live in the room with Paul Hamilton.
Alex, I remember how excited you were when you found out Lindy Ruff was going to be your coach here, and you got his 900th win for him tonight. That had to be gratifying to get that for him.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Wish we did a few games ago, but no, it's good to get the last win there of the season, and to get 900 for him, I think it's really special. I think it meant a lot to our group, and I know he says it, but I'm guessing it probably means a lot to him too. That's no small feat there, and hopefully next year he keeps climbing up the leaderboard there.
You set an NHL record tonight for block shots by a forward. What does that mean to you?
I guess it's okay. It's cool, I guess. But I think something that I focused on is just the D side of things this year, and it's something that I took pride in, and probably got lucky on a couple of those with my long stick there, but I guess I'll take it.
Did you know, like, that you were within range?
Someone had mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but yeah, I didn't know I got it until they announced it there. So I guess it's pretty cool.
How changed in the last 6 weeks here, 5-6 weeks with the team as a whole, and look at the big picture now that's over?
Yeah, I think I think we had more full team efforts. I think we had more buy-in to play in the right way. I think guys saw that if you weren't playing the right way, you weren't going to play as much, and you weren't going to get as good opportunities. And so guys really picked it up, and the effort was a lot better. And thought we gave it a good push, obviously. We're not where we wanted to be, but I thought it was a good end of the season.
I know that there's certain areas of your guys' game that you need to clean up for next season, but in terms of the goal scoring, getting the offense back to probably where it was 2 years ago, how big of a step do you think that is for this group as a whole?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, going into the summer, I know that guys want to have good summers, and you have a little bit of confidence going in there, and you know that you can't lift your foot off the gas, or else we'll be back to where we were a couple years ago with the goal scoring. So to be able to make that jump back up, I think, is big.
Alex, you, for the third time, have won the Rick Martin Award, and that isn't only on ice, it's for your off-ice contributions, too. What does it mean for you to be able to win that award, especially somebody who's followed the Sabres all his life?
I mean, the award is it's nice, but it's more of the effect that I've and I guess just the encounters that I've had with the people that I've been able to work with. Summit Center. I have a great relationship with Dave and Adams. They did a lot of stuff with my group, the 89 Foundation. All 10 games that we had the suite there. We had 10 different groups come in. We have a good relationship with Roswell. You know what? Just it's not just me. It's a lot of people, and it's. I think the award more goes to the people around me, my wife Kylie, and my son. Honestly, they push me every day to be the best person I can be, and the support that I get from them is incredible. So that award's more for them than it is for me.
What it means to you to play every game this year?
Yeah, that's probably that was something I took a lot of pride in. That's something that I really pushed for this year. You know, everyone in this locker room, you're dealing with stuff all year long, and sometimes you're feeling better than others, but I really had the goal of coming in and playing a full season. I hadn't done it yet in my career. It's something that I focused on, and just trying to take care of myself and my body away from the rink, and I was able to accomplish that. So that was really big for me.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you so much. Alex Tuck there as the Sabres win tonight by a score of 5-4. Tuck, the first star. Jack Quinn was star 3. Here he is with Paul.
Well, Jack, you guys had a real good start, and then the Flyers got back into the hockey game, but you guys were able to finish it off and get Lindy Ruff his 900th win. What does that mean that you're able to first win the hockey game and do it for him?
Yeah, it's great. Obviously, big milestone for him, and we wanted to get it done for him. So got a little dicey there, but we closed it out.
The goal you got was a nice goal, and things started to come together for you. The team got together, and you got it together. It seemed like the last quarter of the year has been pretty good for you. How will that help you now as you go into the off season?
Yeah, I think so. It was nice to kind of finish strong in a sense. Obviously, not the year I wanted for myself, but some positive momentum and try to have a big summer and take a step.
Did you look up to see was that goaltender interference, or how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I guess my skate hit his glove, so when his glove's laying there, it's tough. But yeah, never wanted to come back on JJ like that, so it's too bad.
23 wins at home, Jack. That's a pretty big step for you guys as a group. I know the road is a problem still that you need to fix, but in terms of at home, how big was that to make this a difficult place to play and have the success that you guys did?
Yeah, I think it goes a long way, and you know, get the fans behind us here and play some good hockey at home, and got to clean up the road, but it's a positive for sure.
You don't always start the year. Well, you won't start the year with the same team you finished the year with, but how much can the last 6-7 weeks carry over, do you think, into next October?
Yeah, I mean, I hope a lot for us as a group. We're playing some good hockey, and we got to find a way to do that for the full year next year.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Quinn on the post game. Brian, back to you.
The third star in this one, he picks up his 15th of the season on a real nice play from McLeod. I thought McLeod was very good tonight in this game. He picked up the second star and ended up scoring that empty net goal, which turned into being the game winner. McLeod is now up to 20 on the season. Quinn, to me, finished the season overall very disappointing. He finished better. The last month was his best month. But I think he's got to improve his offense, improve his consistency for sure, for him to, you know, be a key component going into next year. Quinn talked about the home ice improvement. The Sabres did improve their home record at KeyBank Center for sure. They're now 20. They finished the year 23-15-3 at home. Pretty good home record. But the road record, the Sabres finished with 13 wins on the road. That's tied for the fewest amount of anybody in the East. Pittsburgh, Boston, Philadelphia, Buffalo all had 13 away from home. Guess who the bottom four are in the East? Those four. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Boston, Philadelphia. They had the worst road records with 13 wins away. And if you want to talk about points away from home, only the Bruins were worse. Sabres had 13 wins, 14 loser points. I'm sorry, 4 loser points on the road. Pittsburgh had 7, Philadelphia had 9. So only the Bruins had fewer with 13 wins and 3 loser points. So anyway, for whatever that's worth, the Sabres definitely need to be a better team on the road for sure if they're going to improve their record going into next season. Lindy Ruff, though, getting 900 wins tonight as the Sabres win 36th game of the season, 36-9, 39-7. Their overall record, 79 points. We are going to hear from James Reimer, so stick with us here. We'll have that coming up here in just a moment. In terms of the overall league standings, where did the Sabres finish? They finish 26th overall in the league. Who are the teams below the Sabres? Seattle, Boston, and Philadelphia all had 3 less points with 76. Nashville, 68. Chicago, 61. And San Jose, 52. So if the Sabres don't move up at all, or, you know, essentially if the odds stay as they are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Sabres essentially would be picking around 7. They'll have the 7th best odds to win the lottery. And let's see, is everybody... Yeah, the only teams left that are playing right now is Los Angeles and Calgary. They're nowhere near the Sabres in the standings. So that'll stick. So the Sabres are 26th in the league out of 32 teams. So they will go into the draft lottery with the 7th best odds. San Jose, they clearly will end up with the best odds. They were 9 worse than the next worst team, which was Chicago. The Sharks finished the year with just 20 wins and 52 points and a minus 105 goal differential. And the Sharks lost their last 10 games, 0-7-3. So they were for sure wanting to make sure they got the top odds. They got Celebrini last year. We'll see what they do with it this year. But in terms of teams in the East, only Philadelphia and Boston finished below the Sabres. But, Buffalo 7th last, 26 out of 32 teams. So they'll have the 7th. Best odds heading into the draft lottery, which usually is, in a couple of weeks? Usually they do it kind of in the middle of the playoffs. So we'll have that obviously coming up in a few weeks to talk about. Now, the playoffs going to start Saturday. The East matchups, if you don't know, they are all set as well. The top seed will be Washington, so they get the low wild card, which will be Montreal. So Capitals, Canadiens in round one. Toronto wins the Atlantic, and they get the second, they get the best wild card team, and that's the Senators. So Maple Leaf Senators, also a matchup in the East. The 2-3 matchup in the Atlantic, Tampa Bay will be the home team against Florida. We'll have home ice advantage against Florida. And Carolina in the 2-3 matchup will take on New Jersey. The Hurricanes will have home ice advantage there. So that's how that plays out. Again, as you have heard me before on postgame, I think the format for the NHL should have been changed years ago. I don't like this format at all. You have Dallas and Colorado playing in the 2-3 matchup in the Central. Two teams with well over 100 points. It just doesn't really seem fair when you've got teams elsewhere that have double-digit points lower that get on paper, a more favorable advantage. But nevertheless, it is what it is for the moment. I'd love to see the play-in round. That would get that 7, 8, 9, 10 happening. But it's not going to be anytime soon, I'm sure. Here's James Reimer, live with Paul.
Well, James, you guys made it interesting. You had a really good start, and then the Flyers came back, but you were able to get it home and get Lindy Ruff's 900th win, which I'm sure means a lot to you guys.
It's it's fun to win. And I thought we played a pretty hard game.
you know, and obviously, you know, they're a good offensive team over there, so they're going to get their looks and whatnot. But I thought we battled hard right to the end, and it always feels good to end on a win.
Did you know where that puck was on the line? Did you know it didn't totally cross the line, or couldn't you see it?
Yeah, I knew the whole time. It was an inch away, so no, I had no clue. I had no clue. So it was. It's nice when the bounces go your way.
What's your initial reaction when the skate rides up and you know? What was going through your head? I guess at that moment, the trainer runs on the ice. That's a.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a bunch of close calls. You know, not with my neck. You know, guys stepping on your hands and stuff like that. But it's kind of like a. You're in the moment. You don't really know what's going on. You know, the puck went off the crossbar. I heard it, hit my back. And I just remember seeing a skate. And then I felt something on my neck. And obviously, your instincts take over. And you're like, oh, boy, what happened? And with the adrenaline, you don't really know. You know, you can't really feel pain a lot of the time. So, you know, I mean, you know, I'm, yeah, you're a little freaked out in the moment. But there wasn't really any blood. So it was all right. You know, it's funny. I've heard a few pastors say in the day, "You're invincible until the Lord takes you home." So, I live with that mindset right now.
James, would you like to keep playing? I mean, you've had some of your best stretches of your career recently. Just do you plan on playing next season?
Ah, that's a great question. wish I had an answer for you. You know what? Honestly, I've really enjoyed playing hockey this year, and every year I love the game. You know, there comes a time when you know, it's going to be done. And you know, I feel like me and my wife and to some extent our kiddos, you know, for the last couple of years, we've kind of been taking it one year at a time. And I think that's kind of the mindset here where, you know, we're going to take the next couple of weeks and you know, see how we're all doing and where we feel or what we feel we should be doing next year. And then we'll kind of go from there. But you know, I had some real special moments here with these guys and this team. You know, it's been a really really enjoyable career. Really blessed to have been able to live my dream. So, you know, I've always just tried to treat it like a gift and make the most of it. So we'll see what the future holds.
It sounds like though, if you do decide you want to play another year, that you wouldn't mind it being here. I know you've said numerous times, including just now, you like these guys. You've enjoyed going to war with them.
Yeah, I mean, the guys in here, you know, I mean, the game is special in the sense that you get to go and go out on the ice with a group of guys and, you know, figuratively go to war. And you create a special bond when you do that, you know, when you're laying out for each other, making up for each other's mistakes, coming together as a team. And we got some really special guys on this team and this – in this room here, and so it's been you know, a memorable one in obviously a good way, you know, with what went on this year. I mean, obviously we didn't meet our expectations by any means, but the intangibles of the game of battling for each other and competing, especially the last 20-ish games here where we really raised our standards. So this was even though we didn't meet the expectations, obviously, but there were some big positives from this year.
Alex Tuck set a record for block shots for a forward this season. What was it like just having him in front of you this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very happy. I mean, he stole a lot of my saves. you know, my save percentage would have been a lot higher if it wasn't for him. So, you know, hopefully he doesn't block as many next year. No, I mean, he's a great guy, and the way he reads the game and plays the game, he's always seems to be in the right place at the right time, and he's just got a knack for just reading the game. So he gets himself in shooting lanes, and I think sometimes he's sneaky about it so that he can, you know, guys think there's a lane, and all of a sudden he takes it away, and then half the time he's gone, you know, scoring goals too on shorthanded. So he's a really special player. You know, really lucky to have gotten to know him this year and to play with him. And, you know, he's got a lot of years left and he's done already so much. I hope that, obviously, his trajectory keeps going up. It's, you know, he's a special player.
James, you've played with a lot of good hockey players in your career. And to watch Rasmus Dahlin, it looked like he even got better and better as it went on. You had a front row seat for a lot of it in the last 6-7 weeks. What was it like to see his play even get better, even though he was already a great hockey player?
Dahls, again, talking about special players and special guys, Dahls is one of them. What I thought he
he grew so much, I think, as so his play, obviously he's getting better and better because he's a special player. But I think as a person too, he grew a lot and took a big step. I mean, being a captain of a team is big. There's a lot of pressure on you and a lot of weight on your shoulders. And I thought he handled it really well, and he grew as a person, as a leader. And I think, you know, I think that's the most impressive from watching him is just he's a great player, and he makes people around him better on the ice and off the ice. You know, he's grown into that leader that brings out the best in everyone around him, and he leads by example, and he drives that standard we're talking about. So yeah, I'm excited to see him continue to develop and grow as a person, as a player, you know, in this league.
Thanks James. James Reimer on the postgame. Ryan, back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul Hamilton, there with James Reimer, who finishes with a win tonight. Reimer was the Sabres' best goaltender for the final month of the season and didn't commit one way or the other about next year. Says that he'll take the next couple of weeks, talk with his wife and his family and his kids, and then make a decision on whether or not he wants to play again next year or retire. My guess would be if he does want to play, that there'll be a conversation with Kevin Adams about here. We know Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen didn't necessarily take a stranglehold and make it a clear-cut conversation that, oh yeah, next year he starts at the number one. He struggled for most of the year. He had a couple of nice games here to finish, but in general, Luukkonen, we know, did not do as well as he did in the second half of last year. So, to me, the door is open. You had James Reimer, this veteran who came in and was the Sabres' best goaltending, and in fact, people are saying, hey, if you would have had this quality level of goaltending all year, would they have maybe been a playoff team? Well, I think at least you'd say that they would have been in the discussion for it for sure. And with how Devon Levi is succeeding so well down with the Amerks in the American Hockey League, is it time now to give him the real, real opportunity? He's had a couple of, you know, quick stints to try to win that job. He hasn't necessarily taken it. Now, this year, he spent basically the entire season in Rochester. You know, I'm sure the Sabres organization is going to be rooting hard for the Amerks to have a deep, deep, deep playoff run where Levi can be a big part of it. Levi's had great numbers down in Rochester, numbers comparable to what Ryan Miller had when he was with this Sabres organization and when he was with the Amerks. So, ideally, you'd hope that Levi can kind of carry the load, get all the Sabres prospects an opportunity to go deep into the playoffs in the AHL and see if they can go and continue their winning ways. By the way, Yuri Kulik is AHL Amerk eligible for the playoffs. So maybe we'll find here on Saturday with Lindy Ruff, and or maybe he's even as early as tomorrow from Lindy Ruff or Kevin Adams, whether or not they're going to send him down. I would think, unless physically there's something that's not totally right with Kulik, that I would get him down there. There's no reason to not continue his development. I think Kulik took a monster step this year, obviously playing on what was Buffalo's top line here for the last month or so of the year with Thompson and Benson, and Kulik performed very well, but why not get him more playoff pressure experience, go down and dominate, and help the Amerks go deep into the postseason, and you know, I think it's a win-win there. If you get Kulik down there, you can help Levi, you can help all the Amerks that are there, and you know, even there's other layers to the Amerks having a good playoffs. Every single game that Rochester plays in the playoffs is another chance for scouts from other teams to see the Sabres prospects performing in a high-pressure moment. So the better they do, the more value, essentially, you could argue that they would have in a trade. And for the pressure, I'm sure that Kevin Adams is going to feel that, look, you know, whether or not We can sit here and debate. You know, I know Paul and I have said, does Kevin Adams deserve a sixth season? His records and where the teams have been in the standings, I think it's an easy argument to say no. But it looks like he's going to get the year. If you're Kevin Adams, you want every single prospect and every single Amerk to look as great as possible during these playoffs, because you're going to have scouts from all the other 31 teams in the league watching these AHL playoffs, and you're going to be on hand for these games, and you're going to want them to look good. So when their names come up in trade talks, or maybe somebody has an outstanding playoffs down there, and suddenly Kevin Adams' phone rings and said, hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? Well, you know, that's obviously something that can help the Sabres trade future prospects for players that they need to win now. They don't need players. Not to say that you don't want to draft well. Not to say that you don't want your prospects and players that are in junior and overseas to do well. But if you're Kevin Adams, all those players may never get to you by the time, you know, maybe you're let go of your services here. You need to win next year. I mean, I feel extremely confident in the sense that if the Sabres don't make the playoffs next year, Kevin Adams will not be the GM. So if you think about those lines, he has to make trades that would send prospects and draft picks to other teams for players now. Essentially what he did with Savoy for McLeod. That trade worked out wonderfully. Savoy might turn out to be a very, very, very good NHL player. He might not even, you know, have a big impact at all. We don't know. But the fact that he was able to make that trade, you sense, okay, McLeod is a player on a good team, but he has a skill set that the Sabres needed. They needed more speed. Got that. They needed a better player at faceoffs. They got that. Those are two big things that McLeod really improved this team with. And he was a playmaker. And by the way, he scored a career-high 20 goals, too. So you feel like you had that. But you've got to get a player that can help them right away. And he also brings winning experience. I mean, he went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals last year with Edmonton. So bring in more players like that. Take advantage of your prospects and your draft picks and all these things that the Sabres have a good amount of, or at least, you know, that they're near the top of the league in, and continue to make trades like you did with Savoy for McLeod. Get another one or two of those in the offseason. You don't have to go nuts in free agency, but you have the cap. You can go out and maybe sign somebody big if you want to. To me, you make, you know, a trade or two like you did with McLeod. You've brought back Zucker. You brought back Greenway. So you've got your veteran experience. You've got your guys that are tough to play against. That kind of thing checked off. I know Adams said on WGR the other day he wants them to be harder to play against even more. So maybe there's another move like that out there. But the top six forward, maybe that has to come in free agency. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times the top six forward doesn't get to free agency, but you could have that in the works as well. 5-4, Sabres win the 82nd game of the season. Lindy Ruff gets win 900. Yeah, here he is live.
900th, does it mean something now? There are no more games to concentrate on?
It's a number for sure. It just means I've coached a lot of hockey games. Had a lot of good players and, you know, a lot of good coaches and from management down that have put a lot of trust in me. So it isn't about me. It's about the teams I've had and the people around me.
You wanted to finish this season with a win. How do you balance that with just the way that the game went after, you know, toward the middle of the second period?
When you're playing in a game that I call this a union game, there's really not much hitting. The pucks are going everywhere. You saw the number of breakaways. I mean, I think Krebs had 4 breakaways in the game, and they're not easy games to, you know, to play or. Where players have players motivated, but you know, we talked about coming out and playing winning hockey and just being a good pro, trying to do the right thing. And I thought we got away from it a little bit in the second period, but got in that early goal in the third. But I thought we came back and played a pretty strong third period.
James Reimer says he has a decision to make, he doesn't know what he's going to do. If this were to be his last season, is it nice to see him go out the way he did, play the kind of hockey he did?
He played great hockey. I have nothing but admiration for the year he had. I mean, to, you know, to get picked up, to end up in Anaheim, to come back, to, you know, be a big part of putting together a nice run for us. He gave our club a lot of confidence. I don't think I've ever seen him have a bad day, and even, you know, scary moment there tonight for him, which, you know, right back in the net. So you got to give Rhymes, he's a consummate pro, and every day was there, whether it was practice, whether it was game day. The reason he's still playing at his age is he's taking care of himself. I mean, you look at his career stats, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So, you got to give him a lot of credit.
Can I ask you about Peyton this morning? And you know, he seems to have reached another level. But just what was going on with him tonight? Just obviously it was a loose game, but I mean to have 4 breakaways in a game is pretty notable.
You know, I pretty well summed it up this morning. You know, if you can just take this morning's notes, so I don't have to do it again. tonight's specific was he was, I mean, just again, he put himself in the right position. He outraced a couple of people. He got himself in the right position. There was, I think the small battles he won in a lot of places led to big opportunities. So it was, like I said, he's, you know, whether it's the penalty killing face-off or whether it's, you know, the late draw 5-on-6 or whatever it is, he's, there's not a task that he's not up for.
I know the next couple of days are more about the future and where things go from here, but what do you tell your team as the season comes to an end tonight after you guys finish your game?
It, you know, that discussion will be probably mostly tomorrow because the team was still on the ice there for a long period of time. That we didn't get where we wanted to go. That is just, that's the statement. We're not where we wanted to be. That stretch of games, you know, that we went through pretty well killed us for the year. And it's like I said, I take full responsibility for where we're at and how long it took us to get out of there. And I don't offer up any excuses except it can't happen again. And I think we've used that kind of as the low part to start building for the rest of the year. And then for a period of time, almost fought our way back into position. But the hole was too big.
It's the kind of game that brings out the best of Ryan McLeod, just the open back and forth with the speed.
I don't, you know, I'm not really going to judge. You watch the game, it's a hard game to evaluate in anybody, really. You know, they're cheating and getting, they're giving us rush opportunities. And so you go down the ice and you miss a great opportunity because you're getting a great opportunity. Now you miss the net or it goes off the goalie and they got guys behind you. And now all of a sudden you're facing another rush opportunity. It's not a game you want to evaluate, you know. Is it good for somebody or, you know, you would probably say it was good for Krebs. He got 4 breakaways somehow. So that would be how I'd sum this game up.
Lindy, your first day here, you talked about the one percenters, and Alex Tuch broke a record for block shots for a forward today. Is that what you're talking about when you're talking about the one percenters?
Yeah, you look at all the little things, the block shots, you know, denying the line, the 50-50 battles, all those little things that add up to, by the end, something big. And our details, you know, got better. You know, I thought we slipped up right at the start of the third on a nothing play to make things really interesting in the game. And we hadn't been doing that. You know, our getting off the start of a period, we've been pretty good. But when you look at block shots and the commitment to, you know, being in lanes when you're caught out of position a little bit, you know, obviously he was the best this year. But there was a lot of guys that gave up their body to keep the puck from getting to our goaltender.
Staying with Tuch, on top of the block shots, he also tied a career high in goals. Just what can you say overall about the season that he had?
You know, a good year for sure. You know, involved in the penalty killing, the power play. You look at the timely shorthanded goals he scored for us. You know, you get to that number because he scored almost every type of goal this year, from the shorthanded to power play too. You look at around, I thought even this last 20 games, some of his goals around net front, the couple games in a row were tips. One was a rebound where, you know, you're battling on your knees. I think at the end, that's the reason you end up with a career high or tie your career high, whatever it was.
You talk to your players for the next 2 days. Is it basically going to be challenging them for the off season to get them ready to go?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, we know to a man, it's not what we wanted. The challenge is to be ready right off the start. We weren't good enough right off the start. And we dug ourselves a little hole off the start. We battled back, but then went through a, you know, tough situation. The challenge is that every guy is better. And if every guy comes a little bit better, we'll definitely be a better team. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following the Season finale win, 5-4 the final over Philadelphia. This and Lindy picks up his 900th career win. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliates. If you have listened from one of our affiliates all season long, we appreciate you listening. We hope you enjoyed the broadcast. We'd invite you to keep listening to the postgame. You can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, we've got more postgame coming up. Still going to have Paul Hamilton's take, get you another scoreboard update. We're also, at the end of postgame, going to end with a fun way here. You know, on a season that's had a lot of negative, we're going to have our interview with the Fan of the Year, Victor Mauder, who was honored here tonight as the Sabres Fan of the Year. We'll finish postgame with that tonight, too. So we need his spirit for everybody here going into the offseason. Final score in Game 82, Sabres 5, Flyers 4. More postgame coming up right after this from KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Turnover by Buffalo. Flyers shot. That one off the leg. Far post. Oh, James Reimer somehow kept that one out. What a save by Reimer.
James Reimer with the glove. They reviewed it to make sure, but yes, it was a legit save. James Reimer, the win tonight. And that is our save of the game with Dan Dunleavy on the call. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 5-4 Buffalo victorious. We're going to get connected with our fans here shortly, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. We'll read some tweets coming up here. Send them in at Brian WGR. We'll also get some scores from around the league, but the Sabres finished third last in the East, 36-39-7, 79 points, 12 out of a playoff spot, and the Sabres now with the seventh best draft lottery odds. They finished 26th overall in the National Hockey League. Okay, for more on tonight's game and the season, we go back down to the media room and bring Paul Hamilton in. Paul, let's start with a positive for the head coach. Lindy Ruff hits 900 career wins. He says, well, I've coached a lot of games, but did go on to say that it was nice and credited all of his players and coaches and management, but 900 wins is a great accomplishment for sure.
Yeah, not too many coaches in the National Hockey League have done that. And, you know, a guy, Florida's coach, has also done it. He's ahead of Lindy Ruff, so I'm anticipating Ruff will not catch him. Now, the general manager of the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, is ahead of Lindy Ruff. And if Barry Trotz never goes back to coaching, I think Lindy Ruff will catch him, and I think that's the last guy he will catch. Unless Paul Maurice decides to retire after this year. But I'm guessing Paul Maurice is going to last longer than Lindy Ruff is. He's younger, I think.
Yeah.
excuse me. So I got a frog in my throat. So, yeah, it's a great accomplishment for him. I think he'll move up one more notch, and then that will be a career for him.
Paul, a couple of other, notes tonight of the statistical matter beyond Lindy's 900th win. Let's start with Alex Tuch. 112 block shots. It's the most ever since the league's been tracking it by a forward. And, you know, Lindy was crediting Tuch after the game, saying, look, he's scored goals in so many different ways this year. I think it's a slam dunk if you said, like, who's been their most complete player from one end of the ice to the other in the room, in the community. Like, he obviously got the Rick Martin Award. I think Tuch checks a lot of those boxes.
And Tuch did get one more block shot before the game was over, so he now is up to 113.
Okay.
he wound up with three on the game. When he had two, he had 112, which was one more than the player that had had the record, so with 111. So he'll finish the season with 113, unless he gets it taken away. I just don't agree with McLeod's empty netter being unassisted. Tuch got the puck in his own zone. He got the puck up ice. It basically deflected off a flyer. Then Benson looked like he relayed it up to McLeod, who scored. I'm sorry. I just think those are assists. Benson got nailed in Tampa Bay, where he and Thompson go behind the net, win a battle. And Thompson gets an assist and Benson doesn't. So that's two assists recently that he didn't get. And it just kind of bugs me. I just don't like – Connor McDavid would get an assist on that play every time. I remember Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky is a great hockey player. To my mind, the greatest hockey player that ever lived. But I saw many times where all Wayne Gretzky in Edmonton had to be on the ice and he would get an assist on a goal if he was on the ice and even near the puck. So now that was a different era. But I just disagree. That's not an unassisted goal in my mind. Mm-hmm. But the people who decide that have other parameters they have to follow, probably different than parameters I have to follow. I just think there really was no clear control. The puck and assist should have been awarded.
5-4, Sabres win it as the offense tonight. Lindy Ruff called it a, quote, union game. I like that quote, Paul. Not a lot of hitting. I thought that was a nice one-liner that he had there. Yeah, the chances were obviously plentiful on both sides. And James Reimer, Paul, held it, you know, as much as he could there. Reimer didn't commit to playing next year or retiring either. He said he's going to take a few weeks, talk to his wife, talk to his family, and kind of see where things are going. I know you've said this before. Is there a scenario where he's a part of the Sabres goaltenders next year? Kevin Adams will obviously at some point have to have that conversation.
I think there could be because there's such a crest question mark. Now, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has had three good starts going into the offseason, but that doesn't erase the rest of the season where he was very up and down. So was the team around him, but the team around him was up and down last year too. And he was great last year. So he's a question mark. Devin Levi is a question mark. He's had a great season in Rochester, but can that translate to the National Hockey League? We don't know. So you've got two young question marks. Both could take the bull by the horns next year. Neither one may take the bull by the horns. I would approach James Reimer like this, because I know, and you heard him again talk about it, he really enjoyed playing for this team. He likes these guys. He sees a good future in this team. I would probably see if he might be willing to come back. And if those two guys in training camp show that they're up to the task, I would say, look, we are not going to hold you hostage here. We will do our best to find you a place to play. And look at it that way. Or even if he's thinking about retirement and you could talk him out of it for that reason. And, you know, if we need you, you know, on the roster, that's great. If not, maybe you can retire or you know, give him some type of a bonus, you know, to sign with. I mean, that's how I would look at it if he's open to it, because it's just too much of a question mark. And it's a shame because it wasn't a question mark at the end of last year. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was the number one goaltender. There was no doubt about it. When Lindy Ruff was asked about it in his first press conference, he said, yeah, our goalie is three letters, UPL. You know, but, you know, I think it was crazy that they decided they were going to alternate Luukkonen and Levi to start the year. It was the worst thing they could do for both of them. It just showed me again that they want Devin Levi to be the starter here. It's the second time he was handed an opportunity he did not earn, and it did not go well for him, and now he is being developed correctly. I like the fact that he has spent most of the year in Rochester. He has had a great attitude from everything I've heard. Well, he's had to put together the year he has, as many shutouts as he's gotten, he's had to have a great attitude. And, you know, that's his team, and now it's his, you know, they're in second place. They're going to start the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see where he can take them there. But, you know, his resume says he should be a good goalie in the NHL. He very well may be. But, it's just a shame that the guy that had earned the number one spot just couldn't, you know, put together a good season this year. And one thing I will tell you, and the one thing I do know, is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen works very hard in the off season. He has a goaltending coach in Finland that he works with. So you don't have to worry about him putting the work in. Mm-hmm. Whether he will rediscover the form he had last year, I don't know. Nobody knows. But you don't have to worry about him putting the work in. Both he and Devin Levi work extremely hard.
Paul Hamilton here on the post game. Sabres finished the season with a 5-4 victory over Philadelphia. But, of course, for the 14th consecutive year, no playoffs for this team. Paul, you asked Lindy about what's next. And, well, these next 2 days, they're going to talk with the veteran players tomorrow, have their exit meetings, and some of the younger players on Saturday. Then we'll hear from both Lindy and Kevin Adams on Saturday afternoon. Our plan is to carry those live right here on our flagship on WGR on Saturday afternoon as we have an extended Sports Talk Saturday and kind of put a wrap on our season here with Sabres coverage. Paul, when we look ahead to next season, obviously there's a lot of decisions to make here, but Lindy at least seemed to indicate that he has to figure out a way with through these conversations with these guys that they are ready to go on night number one. They were not ready in those games in Prague. It took too long before they got going here for a while. Then they actually had a good month. They got themselves to third place mid-November, and then obviously he said it again. The 13-game winless streak killed them. But that 13-game winless streak, although that's probably going to kill a lot of seasons, it may have not been as bad had they not started so poorly. So how do you get guys to be ready to go on night one? I mean, it seems as though this organization, for most of this playoff drought, has struggled to be ready to go when it starts on night one in October.
Even if they weren't ready on night one, just the 13 games, if that changes, you know, and just that alone, if that, you know, instead of going 0-10-3, go 4-6-3. You know, and then give yourself a chance as things wind down to be in the race.
Yeah,
if you're in the middle of the race, then maybe you're going to pick up more points than what we've seen here. Maybe you're going to panic and maybe you won't. I don't know, but at least get yourself in the race. But it was Lindy Ruff said it. I think most fans realize it. I think everybody realizes it. It was 13 games out of 82 that blew up your season. And you went from third place in the Atlantic Division, 2 points out of second, to last place in the conference in less than 4 weeks. That's unheard of. I've been in this league a long, long time. I've never seen a team that was considered an up-and-coming team eliminate themselves that quickly in a season. And there they are again. You haven't even hit New Year's Day, and you're out of it. You have no chance. And you got to spend the whole January, February, March, and April with the what ifs. And you heard Tage Thompson talk in pregame that 7 years as a Buffalo Sabres, and quoting him, he goes, "I have nothing to show for it." And he's pretty upset about it. And he's not blaming anybody but himself. I mean, he puts himself in that category. He's not saying, well, it's everybody else's fault, I want out of here, or anything like that. But how much longer do Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin put up with this before they pull the Eichel and the Reinhardt and say, that's it, get me out of here, I'm not doing this anymore? There's just, this team is not doing anything to make itself better. I need to get out of here. I can't take this anymore. I don't think it happens this year. Rasmus Dahlin was very blunt about it when he was asked about it, when there was, you know, when a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about decided to throw darts against the wall and makes Rasmus Dahlin answer questions that he doesn't need to answer because there was no truth to it whatsoever. And, you know, he's not asking to be traded, nor will he in the off season. But how many more of these seasons can they go through before they're just going to say, that's it, I love it here, I want, but I can't do this anymore. I have to go somewhere else. And, you know, I don't know when that comes. I don't think it's coming this summer, but they've got to figure this out. And, you know, I know a lot of fans don't have confidence if Kevin Adams is the one trying to figure it out. It's looking like it's going to be, but you got to remember with Terry Pegula, he changes his mind quickly. And sometimes when it's looking like if one thing's going to happen, next thing you know, he decides to change his mind and quite another happens. And just ask Jason Botterill. So, you know, it's not looking like there are going to be changes there between general manager and coach. But I wouldn't write it in stone because you just never know what Terry Pegula is going to get up in the morning and decide, this isn't it. Let's change it.
Yeah. All right, let's get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. Paul, I got a lot of tweets in here just commenting on the season itself, but I want to read just a couple of them and get your quick take on it here. Steven says, I know Samuelson's contract still has many years left. Is there a possibility that he could be moved this offseason? So I'll let you take that one, Paul.
I would. I think it's enough. You need to open up some spots for some veteran D. The D's not good enough. The team's not good enough. You know, people say, well, you brought back Zucker and Greenway. Now you don't have any spots. Yeah, you do. You easily can open up spots if you have to. You move some people who just aren't doing the job for you if you have to. Greenway is a concern. I mean, I'm not concerned about his play at all. I think he's very, very good for them. What he brings to the team, nobody else brings. But you can only get 34 games out of Jordan Greenway. Every time he got hurt, he was out forever. And this time he got hurt, and it was like no explanation. It seemed like it wasn't going to be that long, and it was a season-ending injury. And, you know, he has got to figure out whether it's workout regime or what kind of injuries that he gets. Is there any way to avoid the types of injuries he gets? I think he just needs to analyze fully what kind of injuries he gets and what can he do in his training to try to alleviate that. Because he's got to be available for more than 34 games. He just has to be. But, you know, if there's no excuse why you can't find roster spots for the types of players that you need on this team, a veteran top six guy, a defenseman, and I'd say probably two defensemen, but one definitely that you can put with Owen Power, who is going to be riding shotgun with him all year, who is good enough that can play those types of minutes. It can't be Eric Johnson, you know, that type of a player, Connor right. Clifton, or it's got to be somebody better. And if you've got – and that's the thing. To acquire some of these guys, you're going to have to give something up. So that's going to open up some roster spots when you give up whatever it is you may have to give up. Now, maybe it's just younger players. Maybe to get that type of a player, they're going to ask for, you know, a couple of your guys in Rochester, some of your highly touted, prospects. For me, the number one pick is absolutely in play, just like it was last year. Get it done. You got to get it done. I know it's hard. I understand that players don't want to come to a team that has lost 14 years in a row and not been in the playoffs. I understand that. I understand the difficulty. You know, Buffalo becomes kind of a dreary place when you haven't been in the playoffs for 14 years. If you're close to winning a Super Bowl and you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, Buffalo's not such a dreary place anymore. Now players all want to be here. And the Buffalo Sabres wouldn't be such a dreary place either if they started becoming a good team also. So I understand how difficult it is. I understand you have to got two teams to make a deal. But that's your job. Your job is to get this done. You have not gotten it done for two straight years. Have you made some good deals? Yes, you have. Have you signed some good players? Yes, you have. Have you improved your team somewhat? Yes, you have. But you haven't gotten some key things done that you absolutely have to. It's been over 2 years, and it's hard, but you have to find a way to get it done.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You mentioned Greenway's injury. We also, of course, have injury updates. Maybe we'll find out on Saturday with Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams. Josh Norris, his injury ended up extending to be season-ending, even though the indication was it wasn't supposed to be. Obviously, Owen Power's injury looked to be very serious. We'll get an update there. Beck, Malenstein, Tyson Kozak, all those players ended the season on the injury report. And our injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. Well, we appreciate all the tweets coming in, again, all season long. As we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. Okay, Paul, let's finish with just what's next here. I know a couple of fans have tweeted about just wanting to know about what the next 2 days are like. Can you kind of go through and just explain the player meetings, Lindy, Kevin Adams, all that stuff here, what you know it to be as of this moment?
Yeah, they clean out their lockers, and they talk to Ruff, and they talk to Adams, and then they talk to the media, and off they go, home they go. So some of them will go to the World Championship. We know Tage Thompson for sure. You know, maybe Dahlin, maybe Lukanen, maybe Tuck. Maybe some others we're not thinking about. If Team Canada is looking for a two-way player, McLeod would be perfect. So some other guy, Paterka, would be a guy for Team Germany. Kulik, I would send him to Rochester. He is eligible to play in the playoffs. Of course, Oslin and Roseanne will go down there. I would send Kulik down there. If he doesn't, he could go to the Worlds. I think he would get more out of a playoff run in the American Hockey League than he would in the World Championships. So I think there's more hockey for some of these guys. Bo Byram, no, only because, and actually, you know, McLeod wouldn't. And he would be in the same spot as Bo Byram would be because he's a restricted free agent and wouldn't have a contract. You don't want to go play in the Worlds when your contract, when you don't have a contract.
Yep.
So scratch the thing about McLeod. Usually guys who Paterka would be in that spot also, so Paterka probably would not play with Germany either. I just didn't think of that as I was reeling off players. Guys who are restricted free agents probably are not going to play in the World Championships, and that would cover Paterka, that would cover McLeod, that would cover Byram. Levi, but I don't think he would go anyway. I don't think he'd be chosen. I'm missing one. Quinn. Well, he wouldn't. I don't think he'd be chosen either. Those are the guys that aren't going to go because they don't have contracts. So it's basic. Maybe Jason Zucker might be considered with the season he had. He's got his contract straightened out. So, you know, guys I think you're looking at that have an opportunity would be Zucker, Quinn one way or the other, Dahlin, Thompson, who already said he's going, Tuck. Those are the guys, and Lukanen, I think those are the guys that might have an opportunity to still play some more hockey.
Yep. Okay, Paul, well, we'll obviously be listening for you here on our flagship on WGR over the next couple of days with player interviews, and I know we'll be a part of our coverage here on Saturday with Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams scheduled to have their season-ending press conference. So, as always, Paul, all season long, going back all the way to the prospects games that we did in September, all the way through here. You've been stuck with me for 17 seasons now in a row, and I know you've been doing it for many, many, many seasons more. So thank you always for your expertise and our fun conversations on the air. I wish we were doing playoff games. Hopefully, maybe we'll get a chance to do it again next year.
Yeah, this is, for me, the worst day of the year. I hate the last day, and I hate tomorrow because tomorrow I get to see melted ice. And that's even more painful to look at. I just enjoy hockey season, and I would like to enjoy it for a couple of more months. I will be doing some AHL stuff and following the Amerks through their playoff run, but you know, it's just a shame that you know, it once again is ending here, and you know, we'll see where it goes. It's been 14 years, actually. The last playoff game was also against the Philadelphia Flyers, so they ended the season that year against the Flyers, losing that playoff series. So that was the last time they wound up in the playoffs 14 years ago. So And I'll be following the World Championships. Obviously, I'm not going to be in Sweden or Denmark, but I'll be following it on the NHL Network and doing things with that also. So, you know, there'll be more hockey to talk about, but not the hockey that people want to be talking about. And that's just a shame. And for people with Good Friday, we have local programming tomorrow all day. So Zach Jones, I know, will be on. We'll see if some others will be on. You know, Zach will start.
Sal from 10 to 12.
Sal from 10 to 12, Zach Jones. And the reason I bring that up is as we get the interviews with the players tomorrow, and tomorrow is more of the veteran guys, Darlene, Thompson, Tuck, you'll be able to hear those on the air. The guys, you know, who will be going right up through 3 o'clock will be, you know, bringing you some of those interviews from Locker Cleanout. Same thing on Saturday, as we will be extended local programming right up through live interviews with Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams. And once again, folks will be able to hear some of the players during programming. Usually on a Saturday, we're done at 2 o'clock, but we won't be done until Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams will be done, and that could be 4, 4:30, 5, somewhere in there. But whenever those two gentlemen start speaking, you will hear it live on WGR.
Yeah, Derek Kramer and Joe Kelly are going to start off Sports Talk Saturday at 11 and take it through mid-afternoon, and then I'll be jumping in at some point to anchor our coverage, and then, Paul, you'll be down here getting us set with those press conferences. So we'll be hearing your interviews with the players throughout the afternoon and then obviously talking after Lindy and Kevin speak. So be a good day for us to wrap it up. And thanks for bringing up the thought of Ville Leino scoring here, Paul, in this building here.
It was Ville Leino, wasn't it? I forgot about that.
Reminding us of the Flyers, the last playoff game here. Thanks.
And then Terry Pegula got so enthralled that Ville Leino beat him, he thought it'd be a good idea to throw money at him in free agency. That went well.
Yeah, that didn't work out very well.
Mm.
Good. Thank you, Paul.
Times.
appreciate your work. We'll talk soon.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Yes, Ville Leino. Sitting in this, I think, same seat right here in the press box, watching Leino score. It was right down here at the Zamboni end. He was on the penalty box side of the ice. I can picture it. I think that was a 2-1 Flyers. 2-1 Flyers? 3-2 Flyers? I can't remember. No, I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
You remembered everything up until that.
Yes, like up until the score. I think the Sabres were I remember them winning going into the third and them leading in the series 3-2, thinking they can close it out. And then, of course, they lost Game 7 in Philadelphia. Little did we know then that we wouldn't see a playoff game since then at that point. So it was a long, long, long
time. It was
time.
A one-goal game.
It was 4-3.
2011?
That was the Game 6. Oh, no, the series was 4-3.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Game 5. Game 6, it was 5-4 in overtime.
No, is that right?
Yeah.
That was that's right.
Yeah, 5-4 in overtime, and then they lost 5-2 in Game 7. April 24th was the last playoff game in this building in the year, what is that, 2011. 2011. Let's see, it's 2025. Yep, that makes sense. 14, 11 plus 14.
The math works out.
2025. I'm just like, it really can't be. I look at 2011, and I'm like, no. Can't be.
We were all leading different lives then. Even though we were all, you know, adults. Well, some of us were adults on this broadcast, but
no, I was barely an adult. I was an adult.
Yeah,
I was 21 years old.
We all were in a different state of mind at that point.
That is very true.
Yes.
Little did you know when Leino scored that goal, we would not see the playoffs after that.
Yep. And every season, I sit here as host. I'm like, you know what? Next year, they'll be fine.
They usually tease you for the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it got after, you know, they missed a couple, and then it was the McDavid-Eichel chase.
Yep.
That was interesting. Obviously, that didn't maybe play out the way that it, in the end, didn't work out. Yeah, it didn't work out. Let's just had one ping pong ball. We know the Sabres had all the ping pong balls matched up, and then the last one went to Edmonton. Had that last ping pong ball went to Buffalo, and McDavid is still here, TJ, John Alesku, at that last ping pong ball gone the Sabres' way and they have taken McDavid, is Tim Murray still the general manager of this team?
Oof. I mean, he may not be. If he's in a similar situation, well, McDavid comes here, it's a similar situation as the Oilers are, where they're constantly contenders but never getting over the hump. I don't know how...
I mean, Edmonton's made changes.
Yeah, they've, I don't know how Pagula...
They fired coaches,
yeah,
so...
So I don't know how Pagula works that if they're constantly pushing towards the conference finals. I mean, that was so long ago to even think about.
Tim Murray was the most interesting GM during this tenure, for sure. For good and bad.
You had to be on your toes.
But the most interesting, for sure. He was definitely the most interesting for radio to listen to. He was a good interview. Again, for good and bad. he was a very, very interesting interview. You never know what he was going to say. Yeah, that was April 24th, 2011, the last time there was a playoff game in this building. So let's see. That is next. We're a week away from that being the 14-year anniversary of that game. Wonderful. My hair was definitely not gray like it is now.
I had hair still.
That's true. You did.
And I'm the younger brother for everyone. Brian somehow has, I think, more of our mom's side genes. He's got more hair than me still.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I think
my hair is out longer because I've been working on this broadcast somehow longer than
you. You actually have been working on it.
I actually,
before I was hosting and Brad Ryder was hosting, you were producing
this. This is zero tooting my own horn because this, we've discussed, this is my secondary job. I've been doing this for a long time. But yeah, I started right as the rights came to WGR and I was working as a producer in studio.
You were Chopin Bulldogs producer there for a little bit during
and
that time.
Myself and Dave Buchanan, we would work afternoons and Sabres games together. And at some point I got out of the studio and I've been down here for the last decade basically. But it's been a long time working on this broadcast and it's been been tough for the last time. But, you know, as I say, every spring here, I'm like, what summer am I deciding that I might not be back on this broadcast? It hasn't happened yet. And every September, I get the itch to come back anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the same with all of us, is that you sit here and say, like, I'm fine with the season ending today in the sense that I don't need any more games while they're eliminated.
Right.
I don't need any more of those. I don't need any more meaningless games. I want games that matter. So either get me to game one for next year or give me a playoff game. Like, I don't need any more. I don't need game 83, 4, and 5 here to – yeah, I've had enough of those. You know, these have been, you know – it's in some arguments we could sit here and say they've been meaningless since December when Paul mentioned when they went down to the basement. 5-4 the final. Hey, still to come here. Again, we're going to end with some positive here on the broadcast. Victor Mauder, the fan of the year – with all the fun chants that he was doing inside KeyBank Center tonight, we're going to have my interview with him coming up at the end of the post game. But before we do that, let's see what's going on. Speaking of other meaningless hockey games, we have to officially do the scoreboard one more time.
Union games.
But Union games. I love Lindy's line on that.
That will be pulled out, I think, from for future reference.
I love it.
Yes.
I'm going to definitely steal that line again. Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorney, is here one more time with the scores.
Thank you, Brian. Only one game left going on tonight. That one is out in LA, the Kings and Flames. Calgary currently has a 1-0 lead. That one is midway through the second period. Some finals from earlier. Maple Leafs beating the Red Wings in overtime, 4-3. Senators, high scoring one between the Senators and Hurricanes. They win it 7-5 in Ottawa. Rangers with a shutout over the Lightning at MSG in Sam Rosen, the well-decorated and Hall of Fame announcer's final game with the Rangers. So he goes out on a high note with the shutout there, 4-0 over the Lightning. Penguins and Caps, Pittsburgh winning that one 5-2. Both Crosby and Ovechkin scoring in that one in the final game of the regular season. And the Blue Jackets taking care of the Islanders 6-1 in Columbus. To some baseball tonight, Yankees doubling up the Tampa Bay Rays 6-3 in Tampa. Mets beating the St. Louis Cardinals 4-1 at Citi Field tonight. And the Bisons falling to the Syracuse Mets 2-0 in that one. Brian, back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much for the scoreboard, Jonathan, there. Sabres fall, or Sabres, again, 14 years without a playoffs, but they do finish game 82 here with a win tonight. Okay, we're going to take our final timeout here on the post game. When we come back, as we said, we're going to end things on a positive note. So Victor Mauder, fan of the year, going to let his energy and his spirit send us off here into the postseason with some good vibes. 5-4, Sabres beat Philadelphia. Brian Colziel. More post game when we return right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.